I doubt if I have any magnetic current. Everyone has it. That is the aura, so much talked about. Can you see the aura? I see it, but I see the spirit more plainly. The aura seems like a filmy veil to me. Others see it as a thicker cloud surrounding and enveloping the individual. But it is with each one of you, and is an introductory knowledge of the spirit within. The aura carries with it the personality. It may be thick and black with criminals, it may be as beautiful as a sunset cloud, or it may be like a delicate veil, differing with different personalities. We were talking about a young man there who was concerned because his mother here continued to grieve for him. We asked if he could see her. He is not clairvoyant yet as to earthly surroundings and cannot see his mother except as she draws him to her by her thought of him. You little realize what a magnetic current lies in thought, from earth to heaven, and from heaven to earth. You think of us, and we feel the thrill and answer by our presence, though you are so rarely conscious of it. This young man's mother thinks of him and her love goes out to him, and then suddenly he is near her, and recognizes her presence. He also thinks of her at times and this keeps alive her memory of him. Can you see the way in which spirit wireless messages come and go? Are you compelled to come when we call? We are not obliged except by the love we have and the interest we feel. When you wish to write, the effort to bring us in touch with you is like an electric signal, and whenever I feel the signal I come flying home to know what you have to say. The signal is like a flash of intelligence in the brain, or like a touch, or a sound, but anyhow we cannot mistake it however it comes. We listen, or feel, whichever way you can understand it, and come at once. You are our charge, therefore we come when you call. Also, we are watching to get our messages through to Earth. This attraction of thought was illustrated once when Mary asked Sis, think of the name of some person here, and let us see if we can get it from your mind. All right, I have one. Will you change that name, as it would call him here if you held the thought? Would not that be true of others? No. For someone else might be away from your attraction. You have spoken of permanent attractions between persons in the spirit world. Are these always between persons of opposite sex? Not necessarily, yet the two of opposite sex belong together. It is said, though I only know from hearsay, that everyone has a mate of the opposite sex, and that at last they come together and form a perfect union of wisdom and love. That does not exclude other very warm ties, however. Is there as much difference between the sexes there as here? No, the magnetic attraction is probably the influence. You can feel that to a certain extent in earthly ties, can you not? How about the associations in your circle? Does sex make any difference there? Not much. We are all friends, and when we belong to the same circle it means that we are attracted by the same thoughts, plans, desires, and tastes. Of course this means that we are in tune with each other, there are no jarring notes. The vibrations are the same. We are not male and female as on Earth. The sex question is one of beauty and naturalness here, quite removed from the coarseness of the Earth attraction. It is one of vibration, one of harmony, one of coming together of two forces, like the positive and negative currents of electricity. Yet it exists, and adds to the joy of this life. But it never interferes as it does on Earth, with other loves and other companionships. All is within the power of magnetic attraction. We wish the heavenly attraction to be understood. It is the great joy of this life, yet so far removed from its earthly phase as to bear small resemblance. Many of the coarser natures that come here are disappointed at first, and it takes a long time to come into the finer qualities of affection. But once they realize it, there is no regret for the loss of their earthly love. Such natures stay on lower planes for a long time. All the higher education is hindered by their attitude and they progress slowly. These two are the material-minded spirits who send over false messages, and who would entangle mortals in their own false teachings. They are a recognized power for evil here, and we often have to protect mortals from them. An old friend of Sis was introduced by Mary one evening. Speaking of him she said, he came here a short time ago full of theories and beliefs of what this life would be, but found himself only an ignorant child, with everything to learn and most of his earthly wisdom to unlearn. He thinks he received a hint or two while still in the Earth life that might have educated him if he had followed where they led, but he was too bound by his former convictions. He wishes now to send some word to other teachers, that they may not make the same mistake and waste their energy in teaching unwise doctrines. The world is waking to a definite knowledge of this life and the need of new inspiration to higher and more spiritual ideas. Then Mary wrote directly for this friend, "I was spiritually minded, I know, but I confused creed with character. Now I know that character is more than creed, or rather character forms the creed. Character is the inner impulse from the soul and explains itself to the outward brain by principles that really are a creed. But we reversed that in our teaching and many were confused and drifted away. What would you say is the foundation of character? The first impulse from the soul should be kindness. One could not go far astray with it as a foundation, then truth and justice. It seems a common error in thinking of the growth and progress of the spirit world, to conclude that as character grows more perfect personalities grow more nearly alike. I had that idea to some extent when I asked, do spirits retain their personalities as they advance, or do they finally become merged in a state of perfection like nirvana? Nirvana is a discovery or invention of the Eastern, so-called adepts, and does not exist. Personality goes on and on, otherwise spirits would not have been created with personalities. What is all the discipline of Earth for, if not for the development of individual character? No. The individual may go on to unthought of intelligence, or glory, or perfection, but remains the individual spirit still. Another writer illustrates this by comparing the progress with an orchestra. The more nearly perfect each instrument and each performer becomes, the more each contributes to the greater perfection of the orchestra as a whole. Unbelievers in spirit communication often strongly criticize conversations or messages purporting to come from persons they had known, claiming they are not like such expressions in the earth life. An old acquaintance of Sis referred to this as follows, "I am sure I do not talk as of old, but why should I? As of old would be the orthodoxy of that time. But we are emancipated from all that, and are a part of a life so infinitely fine and so infinitely satisfactory that words can scarcely express it." After talking with my father one time, I said, "Your talk does not sound as it used to, but then I don't know that I should expect it. I hope it doesn't, for if it did, then there would have been no advancement. Could anyone but an imbecile be here in the midst of all that is good and beautiful, in the midst of new thought and new activities of mind and body, with the wonders of the universe to attract him, and then after 17 years of such life and opportunity talk the same as of old? Will you tell me that? I suppose 17 years there would be the equivalent of 100 here? Try to drop comparisons, for there are none. Perhaps we might use the old simile, as 1,000 years to one day, etc., but all comparisons fail." In a paper which Sis read at a small gathering, she used quotations from matter received from Professor James. These were criticized by some in the audience as not like his style of writing. Professor James afterward wrote, "That may be the case. But at any rate, a change in belief and a change in environment are bound to change the expression. We receive much instruction regarding the earthly life, and the following is selected in order to show how thought influences character and personality. You cannot understand the power of thought, its ability to bring to itself the conditions of its own making. Therefore think wisely, truly, unselfishly, and, above all, spiritually. These are the heavenly impressions that bring us near to you and you near to us. I wish to impress this strongly upon your thought if possible. If aught could see the building power of thought, little by little, day by day, year by year, they would harbor no evil thought. But they do not see, and therefore have to begin at the beginning here. Think heavenly thoughts and you are drawing near to heaven. The thought of earth life is either retarding or advancing the spirit life. Therefore, do you see, that heaven is nearer or farther away according to the thoughts you think? One's character and personality determine his relationship to his fellow creatures. We have been told several times that the different circles there are builded upon foundations determined by the similarity of tastes, desires, and work, and this has been emphasized in many communications. We asked regarding the distance between circles and planes, and were told. Distance does not mean a great deal here, but congeniality does. We are divided more by sympathies than by distance. The uncongenial never belong to the same circle. Later we find in our record, we love old friends here, but not because they are old. Congeniality is the law of spiritual friendship, and we understand better than formerly in how many ways we can be congenial. Something had been said about the evils arising from race prejudice on earth, and Mary commented as follows, "There is no aristocracy of spirit. All meet and associate as their natures desire. The laws of sympathy and congeniality prevail, and there is no color line, of course, to be a barrier. Are there any foreigners in your circle? Not as yet. There is no tendency to debar anyone from the circle, but those who are here are grouped together because of similar tastes. We have different homes and different work, but we meet together for interchange of ideas." And she said at another time when this or an allied subject was discussed, "It is the law of congeniality that works for happiness here. You know how on earth something is apartment ajar when two people come together. You know how difficult it is to be in harmony with the different personalities surrounding you, or making the social life in which you move. Well, all is different here. There is no jarring of souls. We simply know our soul companions and meet them with confidence and love. Others too we meet, but always with only the side turned toward them that is in the same vibration with them. We do not hate, we do not avoid even, but spirit meets its own." Then the subject of family ties came up when we were asking about a man who had not progressed there, although his family had gone on to higher circles. Families do not stay together then? No, not often. Each goes the way he prefers. The love of his family was wasted on this man then? Love is never wasted. The influence is always felt. But he does not realize yet the power and beauty of spiritual affection. How important are family and relatives to one another? There is not much importance to family ties, more by congeniality. Another communicator added, "You are talking of relationships. You are related by the thoughts you think, by the ideas you cherish, by the loves you develop. These are our relationships here, and are dearer and nearer than ties of blood." Another also wrote, "I have a word to say about family ties too. I have been here long and have found many to love who were in no wise related. Yet for our family I have great tenderness, for one brother here, because he is struggling up through great difficulties, for another, because he is still so far away from real happiness, and for the two brothers who came over in infancy, because of their nobility and purity." Upon learning that one married couple, whom we had known, were not together there, we asked if many kept together. "Not many are married in spirit, and it is only in the spirit that the tie continues on this side. Comparatively few keep the tie here, but are happier to each go his own way. They find their mates at last and come into perfect happiness." The subject of personality and its influence took quite a different turn one evening when, after reading of some wonderful demonstrations in psychometry, we asked to know more about it. "It is true that character can be impressed upon lifeless objects. The mind of man is infinite in its power, and may influence through touch many inert things. The lava from the volcano, the jewel from a mummy, that you speak of had taken something from the environment and carried it to a sensitive soul. The touch of a hand on an object is much, and in the hand of an intermediate person it may even take something from the mind. Will this help you to understand the influence of mind upon matter? You give something of yourself to everything that you touch, and more of yourself to every mind with which you are in contact. This is the source of personal influence, and goes out from you even though you do not so intend. Study the intricacies of mental influence with the object of increasing your power for good. What a power evil persons must have in this! Their influence is negative and therefore less powerful. The positive is the power for good." Still another phase of personal attraction was illustrated when we asked if everyone on earth had a guide in the spirit world. "Each one attracts someone here, and such a one is often desirous of helping the one on earth, and becomes what you call a guide. Those on earth receive from teachers here, oftentimes not recognizing the source of the thought given to them, and so in a way they are guided from here. It is not necessarily, then, someone who had known the person on earth? Not at all. A matter more of similarity of thought and desire. This close connection between persons here and those beyond was brought out quite clearly when we asked if she would have known if we had had an accident while riding in the automobile. Instantly. A messenger would have called me and I would have been with you. We do not anticipate anything of the kind, and see no warning of it in the outlook for you, but if it did occur we would be notified at once and we would be with you in a flash. There are clairvoyant messengers who are watching and seeing any necessity of calling friends of mortals when such mortals need help. Then we are always under the eye of some spirit, always in the sight of invisible friends. The guardianship by spirit forces is one of the protections thrown around individuals. I do not mean that they can always prevent danger or accident or suffering. But if they cannot do this, they are ready with impressions that may help as needed. We get the signal as you might get a telegram. The watchers are ever alert, and call the guides whenever necessary. We have to guard our charges at all times. The watchers are called to this work by the higher powers. It is recognized that this plane needs careful watchers to prevent the evil and destructive forces from exercising their influence. If we call them sentinels, as in the army, you will understand their efficient and necessary work. They are those who seem to be especially fitted for such work, detective service, you might call it, and their signals to us call us immediately. Is everyone here so cared for? Yes, that is true even of those who are not in touch with this life. We have to guard the evil as well as the good. I should think they might do more in keeping them from evil. You must understand that we cannot use force even in protecting others. And many on earth are so debased that spiritual help could not reach them. Their guards try to protect, but fail because of their earthly and sinful selves. Free will must always be left to assert itself, and the evil on earth will naturally incline towards evil influences from here. You are desirous of good, and therefore good influences reach you. Some walk into wrong paths unintentionally, and because it was not their intention, they are soon brought back. I asked Mary if some here who learned that they were influenced from there, would not resent any such idea, thinking they alone should have the credit for any advance or good they might experience. If that is true, then they will be left to themselves, and will only be helped when they desire the help. Guardian spirits and heavenly guides suggest the subjects of guides and controls, terms much used by spiritualists, usually in connection with spirit manifestations or communications. A control is only a powerful helper on this side. We were told by Mary. You might speak of me as a control if you so wished, though I am not a very strong one. Yet I do in a way control the communications of this circle, keeping out, as far as I can, unworthy or ignorant communications, and bringing to you the wise and good. I like the word friend, or instructor better, but many adopt the word control. 16. Vibrations and music. We mortal folk speak easily and confidently of vibrations as if quite understanding their character and power. But what of vibrations whose speed is greater than light, whose rapidity is almost beyond earthly computation? We learn something of such forces from the descriptions of travel and of music in the celestial realm. Vibration, we are told, is the great spirit force here as it is the great material force there. For it is a power affecting both spirit and matter. Scientists stop with earthly vibrations, but why should they? There are numerous evidences of higher ones, if they would accept the evidence. The whole system of vibrations is controlled by spirit, for it is one of the forces belonging to spirit movement and power. Everything in this life is more or less connected with vibration, and controlled largely by the individual's spirit. Does one wish to travel with speed? He makes use of rapid vibratory action. Does one wish music? Then other vibrations are set in motion. Some are produced by individual effort, some are a power used by the individual, just as the different powers are used on earth. Have you any conception of what the music of this life may be? Do you ever wonder what it is like? It is caused by vibrations, but produced in the ether by conditions you do not know. They are started by the will of the musician in a manner you cannot understand, but you may know that the thought of the composer may express itself directly without the slow medium of writing, or even of performing. Can you conceive the thought as a material atom, if we may so express it, that moves outward from its producer and goes on its way with influence in proportion to its quality? Do you have mechanical means of reproducing music, or does the author have to send it from his mind each time? We have spirit instruments as we have spirit houses. How else could we get the grand total of harmonious production? Sounds are set vibrating on the spirit instruments according to the conception of the artist or the performer, and the variety of tone or subject is as varied as the thought of the musical mind. Some prefer the quick and joyous tones and chords, others still hold Earth's memories in retrospective thought, and their music grows pensive and perhaps pathetic, while others are filled with the desire for intricate harmonies. But all are beautiful, each in its own way. Any description of spirit instruments would be beyond your conception. But nothing on earth is so perfect and so beautiful in tone. How about the great singers who have been so famous and so loved on earth? The beauty of music and its power of expression does not depend upon the voice, and may carry its message to the heart without song. It may appeal to one with the same power but by different means. We can sing if we wish, though the exquisite effects produced by heavenly instruments make the use of the voice less desired. Do you have anything that is comparable to an orchestra or to an organ? Will you put out of your mind any idea that heavenly music is inferior to that of earth? You do not conceive of spirit power or heavenly music. These are things we cannot make plain to you. But the music you love best is only the slightest indication of that which you may, oh, I get lost for words. Sis asked an old school friend who had been a fine pianist on earth, if she kept up her music there. Not much, was the reply. It is all so wonderful, I feel myself unable to learn the methods by which it is produced. Music was an easy accomplishment for you here. I had the keyboard before me there and could find the combinations easily, it is true. But here. Oh, my dear. If you could only know the difference between earthly and celestial music. You are wondering how it is that I, who have been here so much longer than Mary, should not have entered into the study of music before she did. You see, that so far as spiritual knowledge was concerned, I was a child when I came over, and had to begin as children do. I could not hear sounds for a long time, spiritual deafness, you might call it. And so I began with other things, and grew so interested that I almost forgot music. Then when my discovery of musical vibrations came, I wished to know how they were produced, and went to a teacher of the science. But I did not give enough time to it, because interested in other things, and so Mary got ahead of me. The study is fascinating, as you will learn for yourself when you come. We will perhaps make music together as in the old days. Will not that be fine? We were talking of the different specialties in study there, and Sis asked Mary what my study was likely to be. Mary thinks he will like history and philosophy, and music too, though he will hardly make music a specialty. Music is very absorbing, and often takes the attention very closely of those who choose it. I remarked that that would be a department to make them one-sided, as we sometimes found musicians here. One-sided? No. Not here. But rounded out and in sympathetic touch with all knowledge. Then one whom Sis had known as a teacher of music in her girlhood days, added, one does not have to be absorbed by any one taste or study here, for days are longer and studies easier than on earth. I am interested in art, philosophy, and many things besides music. Just now I am evolving a new instrument of music, and new harmonies to fit the instrument. I hope to succeed, and when you come you can hear the result. One evening when we were still discussing vibrations, the pencil wrote, will you care to take a message from one who understands vibrations? And then came a message that seemed to be a summing up of the different remarks on the subject that had been given before. In the first place, put out of your mind all ideas of ordinary movement. For nothing exists in material life so fine, so powerful and so rapid as spirit vibration. We use the movement for our work in nearly all ways, in travel, in building, in music, in art, in the very speech of this life. And the study of this force is the most careful and perhaps the most difficult of all. The power depends upon the speed depends upon the spirit. For the worker must learn to grade and use the force in accordance with law. Nothing is guesswork, nothing happens by chance. All is orderly, all can be acquired by study. You say this is not definite. Could you describe an unseen and unknown property to one entirely ignorant of that property? To attempt a comparison, Mary has asked if you could describe the fragrance of a rose. How about the flavor of a fruit to one who had never known the taste? You can say sweet or sour or bitter, but these convey no meaning to one who has never tasted sweet or sour or bitter. So, you see, we can only give the crudest examples of the effects of certain powers, because we cannot explain the finer meaning. I can say then that vibration is our power. We study its properties and its uses. We learn to control. And when we have finally become capable of using it, we become workers with infinite resources and power at our command. Then Mary added, this teacher was one who was a scientist on earth, and would have used scientific terms if he could have impressed them on your mind. But as you could not take them, he tried to give you more general ideas. Are there not mediums through whom you can write any word you wish? I think so, but they are rare. We usually have to fit our language to the ability of the medium. That is why so many mistakes occur, and why messages are mistrusted, because the language is not like that which the communicator used on earth. 17. Evil. The joys of that life had been for a long time so wonderfully portrayed that we began to wonder if the malicious ones of earth were to be allowed to enter into equal happiness. One evening this thought was answered, even before it was expressed in words. You are thinking, the pencil wrote, that we have not emphasized sufficiently the consequences of an evil life, that we have not warned the selfish and the malicious ones, and have allowed this life to seem too easy of achievement, and we wish to say, every time and all the time, that character is of the first importance. As a man lives on earth, so will he appear on this side. Slipping out of the mortal body does not always mean entrance into perfect happiness, justice, purity, unselfishness, and kindness of heart, are the passports to the heavenly life. If these are lacking, they must be acquired, and sometimes the effect of mortal sin makes this acquirement very difficult, and often the time is long and unhappiness great, before the evil is eliminated from the soul. We cannot make this too strong or the caution too serious. Selfishness appears to us here as the foundation of all sin. It appears to be the root of all evil, and is insidious in its destruction of character. Selfishness may be only superficial, or it may be deeply ingrained in the individual. The first may be overcome when true knowledge takes the place of vanity and superficiality. The second is the foundation of so much evil that it is most debasing in effect, and most difficult to overcome. It masquerades often in fine dress, for many strive for beauty selfishly, make music and art a matter of personal pride, or adorn themselves with exquisite textures and priceless gems, and forget the deeper meaning of spiritual loveliness. The selfish use of wealth and power, lack of sympathy for the poor or suffering, pride, self-esteem, all these, and many other manifestations of self-love, are working towards spiritual atrophy. How about those who take their own lives to get rid of the evils of this existence? When a human life is broken by the owner of that life, there is a long period of unconsciousness before any reconstruction can take place. Years may elapse before they are ready to begin any advancement. The suicide takes his own way instead of God's way, and the result is to paralyze the finest spiritual qualities and prevent entrance into the joy of this life for a long time. Will the world ever come into true Christianity? It will come eventually. Every individual has the power to bring that blessed time a little nearer. The work goes on from here as well as there, and all are needed, for the strife between good and evil grows daily more vicious on the side of evil and needs daily reinforcements on the side of good. You believe that final victory will be with the good? I know it will. But there must be greater power both here and there. We see the evil, but not in the hopeless way you see it, for we see also the remedy. Does evil persist into the higher planes? No, One leaves all that as one ascends, or, rather, one does not ascend until all evil has been eliminated.